This morning's scripture reading is Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Brothers and sisters, if someone in your group does something wrong, you who are spiritual should go to that person and gently help him right again. But be careful, because you might be tempted to sin too. By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is important when he really is not, he is only fooling himself. Each person should judge his own actions and not compare himself with others. Then he can be proud for what he himself has done. Each person must be responsible for himself. Anyone who is learning the teaching of God should share all the good things he has with his teacher. Do not be fooled. You cannot cheat God. People harvest only what they plant. If they plant to satisfy their sinful selves, their sinful selves will bring them ruin. But if they plant to please the Spirit, they will receive eternal life from the Spirit. We must not become tired of doing good. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time if we do not give up. When we have the opportunity to help anyone, we should do it. But we should give special attention to those who are in the family of believers.
So I'm the one who put the slides together for today. So I apologize, David, for my faith looks up to thee. Though I think the second two verses were right, I think. But anyway, my apologies. The last several months, I have been sharing my understanding of Paul's letters to the Romans and also to the Galatians with you. And Paul's main message to the Romans was about salvation by grace through faith. Because the Roman church was composed of Jews and Gentiles, and the Jews were just having a difficulty understanding this idea of salvation by grace through faith. And you can understand why, having been under the law for so many years. The Galatian Christians were also composed of Jews and Gentiles, and most of the churches were. And after Paul had taught them the gospel and salvation by grace through faith, you know, some Jewish Christians, who are sometimes referred to as Judaizers, had come in and persuaded the Galatian church that they needed to go back to and live under the law in order to be saved and have the proper relationship with God. And so there are a lot of similarities in these two letters, which is why I chose to present Galatians immediately after Romans. And Paul has emphasized rather strongly that Christians are freed from the law of Moses and actually from any law. Because as he wrote in Galatians 3:21, which we looked at previously, there is no law that can make a person righteous. Otherwise, God would have created another law. But he didn't. There are, however, a couple of mistakes you can make if you do not fully understand what it means to be free from law. Now, you heard the reading a moment ago, and I don't know how well you were listening, but you can see the title of it. Paul used the phrase, the law of Christ. What? The law of Christ, doesn't that contradict what Paul wrote in Galatians 3:21? The law of Christ is actually written two times by Paul, once in his letter to the Galatians and once in his letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul was explaining his rights, just to give you a little context here, his rights as an apostle, and then he explained why he voluntarily forfeited his rights, and it was for the sake of winning others to Christ. And this should be a familiar verse to some of you. He wrote, beginning in verse 19, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. And to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. So if you consider the context in 1 Corinthians 9, the law of Christ appears to me to be the idea of submitting to Christ, forfeiting one's rights and freedoms to serve others in the hope that they will come to know the gospel of Christ and be saved. In the context, however, of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, there is a similar thought. Paul mentions helping those who are caught in sin and bearing one another's burdens that fulfill the law of Christ. So the idea is similar to, in my opinion, to 1 Corinthians, of submitting to Jesus and giving up certain rights and freedoms to serve others. I mean, that's exactly the example that Jesus gave to us. And if you recall in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8, Paul described this idea as it was displayed in the life of Jesus. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. So Paul then describes that this was the attitude of Jesus, beginning in verse 5 of Philippians 2. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or held on to, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So in 1 Corinthians, in Galatians, and Philippians, Paul explains this same idea in kind of different language. Similar language, but different. So the law of Christ is not a list of rules and regulations similar to the old law. It's not really actually a law at all. It's a set of actions that occur under a particular condition. It's the action of submitting to Christ by devoting yourself to the welfare of others because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. The end goal, of course, is leading them to Jesus, growing out of your love for God and your neighbor. It's similar to what Paul wrote to the Romans back in chapter 8. He wrote, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And when he uses the term law in those verses, he's referring to an action that's generated from a particular condition, kind of like the law of gravity. You know, gravity is a force that pulls one toward the ground, pulls everything toward the ground. And when something goes up, you know it's going to come back down because of the law of gravity. It's an action generated from a condition. So the law of sin and death means the action of sin results in the spiritual condition of death. And so the law of the Spirit of life means that the action of the Holy Spirit results in the condition of life. And I say all of that to make the point that the law of Christ, which can also be described as the law of the Spirit of life or the law of love, is not equivalent to the law of Moses. There are two mistakes that you can make if you don't understand the difference between the law of Christ and the law of Moses. The first mistake is to think that the law of Christ is just an extension of the law of Moses. And they're very different. One is external, one is internal. It's similar to the idea as to what Paul told slaves in Colossians 3:22. He said, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. It's the difference between doing something because you have to and doing something because you want to. It's the difference between serving out of obligation and serving out of love. And you know what that's like. Everybody in here knows the difference between those two. I'm sure that you have gone to a restaurant or gone into a store at one time or another, and you were waited on by somebody who was either having a bad day or hated their job. And you know what that's like, because they don't really give you very good service. They often don't smile. They often act sometimes annoyed that you want to be served. But you compare that and contrast that, I should say, to somebody when you go into a restaurant or into a store who is just, they're bubbly, they're smiling, they want to know what they can do for you, they'll go the extra mile. You know, you can tell they either love their job or they're having a good day or something went right in their life or they just want to serve. There's always a significant contrast between those two. So we cannot think that the law of Christ is just an extension of the law of Moses. Righteousness is the same, of course, under both. Righteousness is righteousness. But it's what's inside that counts. And here's how Paul described it in Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, which is external, counts for anything, but only faith working through love. It's internal. So the first mistake you can make is to think that the law of Christ is just an extension of the law of Moses. It's not. They're very different. The second mistake you can make is to think that because you're not under any kind of a law, you can do whatever you want to do. And you're not subject to any authority whatsoever. You know, you can just live your life however you please, and it's okay because you're not under a law anymore. And that's a mistake that some Christians make. Paul instructed the Romans in chapter 6, verse 19, he said, to present themselves as slaves to righteousness leading to salvation, leading to sanctification. You're free in Christ. I mean, that's not, those aren't my words. Those are Paul's words. But you voluntarily submit to righteousness. So it's not about living to please yourself anymore. It's about living to please God, which involves others. Being under the law of Christ means we submit to acts of love in order to glorify God through serving others in the name of Christ. It's about maturing spiritually, bringing you to spiritual adulthood, in a sense. And one of the ways to illustrate that is the transition, really, from childhood to adulthood. You know, as a child, you didn't really have a good idea of what was right and what was wrong. You know, you don't really know much of anything as a child. You know, and so you needed someone to teach you that. And for most of us, it was a parent. And for some of you, it may have been a grandparent or someone else. And for the Jews, it was the law. That's why God gave them the law, was to teach them what is holy, what is right, what is good. If you've been taught properly, when you mature and become an adult, you've learned right from wrong. And you've internalized it. You don't need someone to teach you anymore because you know how to act. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Fulfilling the law of Christ or the law of love is demonstrated in several ways, as mentioned by Paul in Galatians 6. And so I just want to go over those with you. In verses 1 and 2, it involves serving other Christians when they go astray. Some Christians will lose their way or get caught up in sin. And he says, you who are spiritual, which I interpret to mean spiritually mature, should love them enough to first be aware of the problem and secondly, to attempt to do something about it. You know, we know people. All of us probably know some people who haven't been here in a long time. Do we all know who they are? And if you do, and since some of you do, do you care? You know, if you care, then it's out of love, we should try to do something about it. You know, fulfilling the law of Christ involves seeking to restore them. That's sort of what Paul's talking about here in Galatians 6. And that, now, I know some of you may be thinking, well, that's the job of the elders. I mean, that's they're the shepherds. Well, it's not just their responsibility. It's your responsibility too. It's my responsibility. You know, they're your brothers and sisters. Fulfilling the law of Christ also involves bearing one another's burdens. Helping a brother or sister when their burdens are too heavy for them to bear alone. There are a lot of burdens in life, aren't there? Some of you are probably under a lot of burdens right now. There are health burdens, there are financial burdens, there are family burdens. I mean, you can go on and on with burdens. And most of us, most of you, handle your own burdens, but sometimes burdens can get so great, they just overwhelm you. Love helps. Love is aware. Love takes action. The third way Paul indicates is Galatians 6:6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. In other words, support those who minister to you and teach you. The Judaizers were probably discouraging the Galatian church from supporting Paul, which may have been part of the reason why Paul addressed this. I don't know. But when you give to support the work of Robin and Caleb and Kelly and Mackenzie and myself and maybe others, you're actually doing God's work. Because we're here. We're here to do God's work. And a lot of that work is actually for your benefit. So you're actually sacrificing to serve yourselves. You know, we minister, in case people don't know this, we minister by preaching and teaching. We minister by creating, organizing, and directing events. We serve you by assisting in making decisions in regard to the church and its ministries. You know, we visit you in the hospital and nursing homes. We officiate your weddings and funerals. So when you share your gifts with us, you're making it possible for God's work to be done, not just for others, but for you also. Paul goes on to say, don't deceive yourselves. Whatever you sow, you will reap. In other words, if you're primarily serving your own physical needs and interests, it's not going to have much of an impact beyond yourself. But if you serve God by serving others, it can have an eternal impact in the kingdom. Fulfilling the law of Christ should be a joy. You know, serving God will become a joy. As you mature spiritually, it becomes a joy to do that. I think that was sort of behind the words that Jesus spoke when he said, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. When you serve because you want to, you do it much better than when you think you're just doing it because you have to. We all know that. And that's a blessing to you and to the one you serve. Typically, when you have to do something, you only do what is necessary and you don't do it as well as you could, typically. But when you want to do something, you usually go far beyond what is necessary. You go the extra mile. And that's what the Lord is seeking from us in Jesus. That's why he got rid of the law. And he gave us Jesus. What pleases God the most is not how well you serve, not how well you do, how perfectly, but how you serve. Are you serving out of love? Or are you serving out of fear or obligation? So please remember that our covenant with God is not based on law. It is based on love. It's no longer external, but now it's internal. And you may have to force yourself to serve at first. It may have to sort of be external at first. I was a reluctant servant at first, but as I continued to grow and to make attempts at serving, as I continued to do that, it led me to the point where I wanted to do that, so much so that I'm doing what I'm doing now. And that can happen to you as well if you'll just make the effort to serve. If you'll let God have His way with you, as we used to sing, He will bless your life immeasurably and bless others through you. That's simply what He wants from us. So I pray you understand the difference between the Old and the New Covenants. We've spent several months thinking about that, talking about it. And the difference is not the Old Testament versus the New Testament. The difference is faith working through love. And that's what He wants. And it makes all the difference. You will want to help others when they are caught in sin. You will want to help others carry their burdens. And you will want to share your resources with those of us who want to serve you. And in this way, you are fulfilling the law of Christ, in a sense. So if you could take a look at your communication card at this point. There are next three steps on the back of that card in that black box. I ask you to memorize Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Read Galatians 6, which is what I've shared with you this morning. And I ask you to accept the love challenge. You know, serve God out of love, not out of obligation. But you may have to force yourself at first. If serving, you know, if calling somebody up that hasn't been here in a while is uncomfortable for you, just try it. Just try it. Just try it once and then try it again. After a while, it becomes much easier and you actually begin to enjoy it. The reason Jesus came was His love for you. And he wanted to die for you. I mean, that's why He came. He wanted to actually give His life for you and me, because He wants to live with you forever. And He wants you to love Him to the point that you are willing to die to yourself and to sin. And you can do that this morning. We'd be happy to help you die to sin this morning in baptism. We'd be happy to hear you confess your faith in Jesus this morning and give up your life for Him, so that he can then enter your life, so that He can put His Spirit in you, cleanse you from all of your sins, and begin to shape you and mold you into His image, so that you begin to serve because you want to. And you begin to serve because you love people and you want to help them, and because you love Jesus. That opportunity is open to you this morning. If you're not a Christian, you don't have Him inside of you. So we beg you this morning, give your life to Him this morning, and watch Him change your life. We invite you to do that right now as we stand and as we sing.